Welcome, episode 15, Brothers of Purpose. Today, we've got Joe Bird with us. I'm over the moon, mate. Mate, good to have you on.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell the guys a little bit about yourself?
Right, so I'm Joe Bird. I am 32 years old and I'm a tattoo artist. Newcastle boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, really. I'm pretty boring apart from that.
I know you're not. No, I think... we go into your tattoos straight away, mate. They're incredible. But I also know that your sort of transition into this, from my perspective, it seems like it came out of nowhere, but I know it hasn't, but because I know you've been drawing a lot before that. But tell a bit about how you got into this.
I totally fell into tattooing, like really fell into it. My friend was getting tattooed in a tattoo studio. Mm-hmm. I went down to see him, keep him company. I was bored, so I started drawing on a piece of paper. And the tattoo artist said, oh, that's all right, do you want to learn a tattoo? And I went home and bought a tattoo machine. So it was...
So a bit of an impulse?
It was an impulse. But as I say, I had been drawing on and off for all my life and it was an interest of mine. I never thought about doing it. And you know what? I can remember, I still got this one thought in my head from when I was much younger in the gym. There was this really good tattoo artist in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I can remember me and my friend speaking to each other, he's that good tattoo artist, isn't he? And I can remember thinking, like, he's living the dream. Mm. He's got such a good life. He gets to tattoo every day. He gets to travel with his work. Mm-hmm. But nothing in my head ever told us I could do it. I almost thought I would never be able to do it. So it's an interesting place to be.
No, I love that, mate. I think... You've had a lot of experiences. I know you've done a lot of stuff. You've had a pretty big social life as well. Because when I first met you all those years ago, you were pretty high up in the pecking order. At least that's how I saw it back then. You know, you were involved in a lot of different groups.
Yeah, you know what? I had some fun when I was younger. I had some bad times as well from having too much fun.
Yeah, we all do.
I guess that's just part of growing up in Newcastle, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
it's an amazing city, but when you're younger, it's a party place. You don't really have much to do. You were weird if you didn't go out and party back in our day. You really were. Like, I didn't know anyone who didn't go out a minimum of once a week.
Yeah.
Normally two or three times a week.
Mate, there must have been a group of like 50, 100 of us that would always just dot about, and you'd see, honestly, you'd go on a night out and you could pretty much guarantee you'd see at least 40 of these people that you knew.
Yeah, and I think as well, when you've got a craft like that, you meet so many new people and then it transfers into your social network, isn't it, when you're out and stuff.
So I wasn't even tattooing at that point.
No?
No. I was still, when I first started tattooing, I was still going out and partying, but that was sort of when I started to pull away from it. But what was it? What did I do back then? I was a personal trainer at a gym.
What was the experience of personal training? Because I feel like it does have a huge dropout rate. Like,
So I just started doing it because I used to do a lot of like Muay Thai and boxing, and I trained all my life, and I was just at a point where I wanted to find a career, and that seemed like a route to go down.
Path of least resistance.
But I wasn't. I wasn't passionate about it. It was just something that I thought, oh, I'm getting on now.
Yeah.
I need to get something that I can work towards. Not just like a job at like
an aim.
Nissan or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I thought it was hard. It was
pretty brutal. Work, like it's kind of glamorized these days, like, oh, be a PT, you know, choose your own hours, do what you want with your clients and whatnot. Mm. But it's pretty brutal when you start out because you're actually becoming a bit, if you've not done it before, if you've never been self-employed, you're a business owner potentially for the first time in your life.
Yeah.
So.
But also my head wasn't in it. But at that point in my life, I was still massively into the party scene, so they just didn't go together. Like, how can you expect to be how can you expect to be a good successful personal trainer if you're going to the pub and doing 10 pints Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Like, it just doesn't mix together.
So 100%.
To be honest though, for me, I think
you find
I still think even though like you maybe don't see it as that much of a success over that time. But I remember still thinking when I saw what you were doing with the tattoo studio, I remember even thinking the gym was still impressive. It was still impressive what you did. And the fact your heart wasn't fully in it, it says a lot about you that you were still able to put together something pretty impressive. But I think we all went through that stage where we were trying, or not all of us, some of us are still in that world, you know, but I think a lot of us who try to move away from it, you go through that period. I've had 3 failed businesses because I just couldn't manage. I couldn't manage my addiction, my coke use in between that time. And it just wasn't, but also my head wasn't in it. It's taken till really this last year where I've sorted all that side of things out, where now I've got a bit more clarity, you know?
See, I don't see them as failed anymore. I see things, it's all a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the things that I will have learned about being self-employed and running your own business from being a personal trainer and having a little gym, like, they give us a sort of helping hand towards when I did open my tattoo studio.
100%.
So it's all, you're learning all the way through, aren't
you? Oh, yeah, of course. You're right. When you get humbled, that's, I think, when you learn the most about yourself.
Definitely.
100%, isn't it? Yeah.
Have you always lived in Newcastle?
I have.
Yeah.
High Heaton. High Heaton.
Local lad.
And then we lived all over. I think it's where I think I must get off my mom and dad, because I'm like a gypsy. I like to move all the time. I never stay in like one place for more than like a year.
Yeah.
So we lived in Newcastle. We lived in Wide Open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Heaton, all over really. But I grew up in High Heaton.
Love that. Love that.
You got a proper sort of active family, don't you? Like, everyone in your family seems to be in good shape. I remember you telling me stories about your dad. You know, he'll go on, walks. Were you saying he goes on walks with a weighted vest on?
He does with a dog still. And you know what, right? Yeah. I was a little chubby kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really, really chubby kid.
I've never
kid.
Known you without a six pack.
Till I was about 14 or 15, I was a little fatty. No, I shouldn't say that, but I was. But my dad was always quite fit, and you know what?
Yeah.
I'm very grateful to have a dad who, like, fitness or something physical was always a big part of his life.
Mm.
And I can remember it must have been his like sort of way of saying like, "You're getting a bit chubby."
Mm-hmm.
It's funny this. He used to pay me £2 for every mile I ran with him. So we'd go.
That's smart.
So we'd go out in the morning. We'd run 2 miles and give us £2, and I would get the bus into town and I'd spend it on sweets and eat them on the bus to the way to school. So it sort of equaled its way out a little 100%. Bit. Yeah. But yeah, very active family, which is good because it's a very important part of my life. Exercise. Mm.
You can see that. You can see, because I mean, a lot of the content you do is on the fitness side of it. Your diet. I know you've changed that a lot recently. I'm really interested in the carnivore diet. Not necessarily for me doing. It's not where I'm at right now. But the change I've seen it make in you, because you just it's not just for me. The change I've seen. It's not just your body. It's your mind more than anything. You can see that.
So that is why I done it. It wasn't for a physique change or anything, because I was just like, I was just not feeling great. And I was almost like, is this it? Right. So I'd got sober.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah. So I'd got sober. I was exercising all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was working hard. And I still wasn't, I was just not feeling like I think I should. I was getting moody. I was getting brain foggy. I was just thinking, why, if I'm doing all of these things right, am I still not feeling like I think I should be feeling?
That irritable discontent.
Yeah. So I finally decided to take the leap and try it. And I'd tried to do it multiple times in the past, but I'd failed because I was fucking addicted. Can you swear?
Yeah, of course you can, bro. You swear as much as you want.
Because as I realise now, I was massively addicted to sugar and processed food. I really was. But I just thought, right, okay, I'm going to do 30 days.
Yep.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule for the first 30 days was don't eat any processed food or mm-hmm. sugar. Don't eat anything that isn't an animal product.
Yeah.
And I was eating blocks of butter mm-hmm. in a day, like a full block of butter.
Wow.
Because I told myself, right, I'm going to get cravings. So when I get cravings, you need to fill yourself up with as much meat, cheese, butter, anything.
Counteract it.
To just make you not crave it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that. And it worked, and it was really weird. It was like, I still think it's weird because I haven't really tracked a calorie since doing it, right? But a few days I did just think, right, how much am I eating each day? And I easily eat 4,000, 5,000 calories a day, every day. If you look on my fitness plan, you put in what I eat, sometimes 6,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, how am I doing this,
mm.
but still losing body fat? It didn't make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's been interesting.
I think it's wicked.
I've done it for nearly 3 months now. So, you know, I'm not going to preach on about it because it's still early days.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only talk about my experience of it.
Yep.
But in them 11 weeks, in my opinion, it's been life changing.
Yeah.
And I've got no intention in stopping it because, like, I didn't realize how anxious I was.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, from the moment I woke up to the moment I go to sleep, until I was stopped being anxious.
Yeah.
And like after about a week or two, I woke up one morning, I was like, oh, I actually feel pretty good here.
That's what continued
us to keep on doing
and
it.
And you still feel like that today?
Yeah, I'm the calmest I've ever been. Like
you can see it.
You
seem comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, it's raised my self-confidence a lot. And you know what's strange, right? So It's not just about how I look because, in my opinion, I've been in better shape before. I've been more leaner and more jacked before whilst eating a different way. But my confidence was nowhere like it is now.
Mm.
It's like my brain's working like it should be. That's what I truly believe. Like there's not loads of shit going on making us feel certain ways. It feels clear. I very rarely get stressed anymore. I don't want to say I'm like a fucking Buddhist monk.
Yeah, yeah.
Things will stress me. Mm-hmm. I do have a stressful job and a stressful life. Mm-hmm. And I will have days where I'm more stressed than others.
Yeah.
But like, but I can catch myself. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, right, okay, Joe, you're getting stressed. This is why. Like, don't stress about it.
Yeah.
And then I just go back to normal. Whereas before, because like my overall stress levels were always here, just on that verge of fucking blowing up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it was like, I don't know, like someone says something, I take it the wrong way. Me and my girlfriend have a
just ready to snap
disagreement on something so petty because I was always like just ready to blow.
Heightened. Yeah.
I would just blow up. Whereas now I'm down here. So I never get to that point I was.
So it's sort of giving you the opportunity to understand it and manage it better.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And it's made us realize that most of this, like everyone's going to have stress in life.
Yep.
And what stresses you is, how do I say it? Like the most stressful thing in your life is the most stressful thing in your life, even if it's nothing compared to the other person. That is
really
yours.
Relative to you.
Yeah, it's 100%. Relative.
100%.
So everyone's life is stressful.
Yeah.
So my life is no less stressful than it was.
Mm-hmm.
You just
manage it better.
I think that's because I've removed sugar from my diet and a lot of things which were obviously having an impact on my...
The sugar I find particularly interesting because I think like that's... Because I remember when you said that to me and that's one of those things, right, that I've always had in my head. I know it's not benefiting me because even when I started eating really clean... I'd still treat myself with sweets and stuff. And it was when I saw the change in you, I was like, okay. Like, there's nothing clearer to me than that.
So, like, it got to this from having a good, hard, deep look at myself. Mm. And as I said, I got sober from drugs and alcohol, which I'd had massive problems with in the past. But when I really look back, I did get sober from them, but I didn't get sober because I would binge eat.
Yeah.
And that's been a big thing. And the more I look back, that food processed food or sugar mm-hmm. was actually my first addiction.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the way
yeah.
I see it is that first addiction is actually what led to my drug addictions, mm-hmm. that seed that was planted at yep. a young age, mm-hmm. with us being a, you know, an out of shape young kid, which came from the food addiction mm-hmm. at such a young age, which then led to low confidence growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, no teenage boy wants to be an out of shape kid. That leads to no confidence. When I was growing up, I didn't want to speak to girls or anything. Mm-hmm. But then you have a drink and you have your first line, mm-hmm. and suddenly you've got this confidence.
Opens up a whole new world.
That's what the other people are more easy to get addicted because it lets them feel a way that they want to. And that was me. Mm-hmm. So I think the sugar and the food addiction was what led me to that. Mm-hmm. And when I was like, right, okay, I've got sober from drugs and alcohol now, and I never want to go back there. But I've got a pretty big addiction that I haven't faced mm-hmm. for my full life. Now's time to face it.
Yeah.
And I almost see it as a prevention mm-hmm. to ever going back to taking drugs and alcohol.
100%, I agree.
Because if you think, if you had someone who done cocaine and done mm-hmm. alcohol,
yep.
if they stopped one of them,
yeah.
you would most likely go back to doing both.
Yep.
You need to stop both.
Exactly.
Well, processed food and sugar was one of them things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've done multiple years of sobriety in my time, but I have had relapses.
Mm-hmm.
And when I really looked back at what has caused these relapses, when I look back, it was periods when I would have started eating more and more mm-hmm. food and binging and not feeling good about myself, and my confidence would have went low. And then that was only just a matter of time before I'd go, oh,
100%.
Well, the food and the sugar is not doing it for us anymore. Yeah. Let's go back to the drugs.
That dopamine chasing.
So yeah, so for me, it's like a prevention mechanism as well, which is cool.
Are you of the mindset that addiction is a disease?
You know what? Right. I've been thinking about this a lot recently.
Yeah.
So what do you define as a disease? Because a disease to me
mm-hmm.
is a negative thing.
Okay.
Because
It has negative connotations for sure.
So my view has changed on addiction recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think addiction is all negative.
No, I agree. I agree with that.
The reason for that is I think if you get addicted to the wrong substance,
mm-hmm.
it can be really, really bad.
Yes.
But who do you look up to as a role model? Let's think of someone
successful.
An iconic person. Could be a businessman. It could be a sports person.
Alex Hormozy.
Yeah. Are you telling me he is not addicted to business?
Yeah, yeah.
So addiction, in my opinion, is something that can almost be an amazing thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agree.
Let's think Michael Jordan, the best basketballer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow basketball, but everyone knows who he is. Like, he is an addict.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't get to that level of greatness without being an addict.
Yeah.
You don't get there with moderation. Like he has that same drive to do well and to get where he has as a heroin addict has mm-hmm. to take heroin. And this is only something I've started thinking recently.
I like that.
Because, it can be the worst thing in the world if you do the wrong thing.
No, I agree.
It's a little bit like flying.
Yeah.
So if you get on the right plane and take it to the best destination you ever want to go on, if you get on the wrong plane, you can end up in the worst place you want to mm-hmm. be. Or if it's a really bad plane, you fucking crash and die.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's like,
would you say an addiction and an obsession is the same thing?
I think so. I do think.
Because I think when an addiction is used in a positive context, it seems like it's used in the context of somebody being like massively obsessed. But I think what Alex is getting at is when you see addiction as a disease, it's probably because of what you're doing. But then does that not like blur the lines a little bit between an addiction and an obsession?
I think, as you say, like it all... And again, I'm not an addiction specialist. I'm purely just speaking from my opinion.
But in a way you are. Because you've had a fucking whole life of it.
I have.
And you're managing it really well.
But I'm not like
You're not qualified.
I'm not like a fucking therapist or someone who knows. I mean, I do research a lot about this, but all we're trying, if an addict has found something which changes their way of feeling, right, to a place that they're like compared to where they were.
Yeah.
So they didn't like how they were, or you didn't like the way you were. You took something or done something. It made you feel better. You got a dopamine hit and you repeat the process.
Yes.
Mm. That is, it's embedded in human beings to follow them pathways because when we were hunter-gatherers, like we would have had to chase the dopamine hit.
You had to be obsessive or addicted to something to survive.
Addicted to surviving, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
Steve-O says it explains it really well, which is basically an addict is someone who is just simply so uncomfortable in their own skin that they'll just do anything to just numb it or just get out their own body for a bit.
Yeah.
And I understood that a lot because that's at least for me, that's how it was for me for years.
Addiction just fills in emotional avoidance leaves a big gap in you somewhere. And I think addiction fills that gap. So for example, someone who's just never actually dealt with their problems before.
Well, mental health's a big part.
The best way to numb yourself from actually having to deal with all of your problems is a substance. And it's not only a substance though, because I think it's actually multi-layered. I think it's because you could change the substance. You could change the substance to something less harmful, but if you still haven't dealt with your problems and you're still avoiding it, you probably end up with like another problem or a bigger problem.
Well, you do. If you don't do this, this is sort of what we spoke about, which is a lot of people, they'll get sober and they'll white knuckle it for as long as they can, or they'll go to the meetings consistently. But what you've done is just remove the antidote that didn't serve you, but you used for years and years. And if you haven't actually worked out, right, what is my antidote, my positive antidote moving forward, or why did I get to that place? What is actually going on in my head? Like for me, it was abandonment issues. It was childhood trauma. It was my ADHD. All these things, self-medicated with drugs, you know?
Yeah, mine was the exact same because it all came from childhood trauma of getting bullied and self-confidence.
Yeah.
Self-confidence issues were the main thing for me, how I looked. And unfortunately, a big thing, which this is all stuff that you sort of unravel as you do get sober.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, growing up, have you heard of gyno?
Yeah.
Gyno.
Oh, yeah.
So I got that as a child.
Did you?
So, yeah. So some people get it from just from going through puberty.
Yeah.
Some boys get it. Well, yeah. I got it bad.
Did you?
Was the worst thing in the world. Imagine being, right? No.
I can't imagine you like that, mate.
Like, imagine being a small, slightly chubby, 14, 15-year-old boy at the point when, you know, you want to start speaking to girls.
Yeah.
And you've got a little pair of tits. I can laugh about now, but that was me.
I had no idea.
So I used to hide away. I would hide under clothes. I would not want to go to like social things. I wouldn't if someone told me I had to take my top off in front of people, it would be the worst thing in the world. Yeah. I think the more I look into it, that was where mine came from. Mm-hmm. And I would isolate myself away. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be by myself because that's where I was safe.
Yeah, just
by myself. Here's a question for you, actually. What would you say to that boy now?
that's a good one. Tell me you're going to get fucking jacked.
It's a good answer.
You know what I would tell him, right? So basically, the story about that. So it took me from probably being about 14, 15, so I think about the age of 18, right? So I lived with it for 4 years and I was so embarrassed by it. Even though like everyone could see it, my family, I didn't want to talk to anyone about my mom and dad or anything. But I finally one day said to my mom and dad, I don't like this.
Mm.
I want to sort it out. Luckily, my granddad paid for us to get gyno surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing, and that changed everything from then, like it really did.
That must have been tough though, having that conversation.
Oh, it was the hardest thing in the world. Yeah. But so if I could go back and say one thing to that person, I would say talk about it now, which is probably quite an important thing.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to talk about things. And if you build things up in your head, it gets you nowhere. Like,
it's actually huge in the bodybuilding industry this, you know, because some of the top level bodybuilders, obviously, once they get to that peak level, there's so much testosterone in your body.
Yeah.
And then obviously you have your estrogen levels going up
and
then you get like your gyno. And obviously if you're competing at the highest level, a lot of them are getting gyno surgery just to get rid of it.
Gaz Crosby's just got it done.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, your body always wants to stay in, what's the word,
homeostasis. I think
So if you smash a load of testosterone in and you're going to have loads more roaming around your body, I think, is it a cell called DHT, maybe? The thing that converts it. Well, the thing that converts your testosterone into estrogen, that's mostly found in fat cells. So I was a chubby child, so that would be you're more likely to get it if you're carry body fat.
Which is why I tell people not to jump on testosterone when they're too overweight, basically.
That's what's going to happen. And also you're going to look worse, like 10 times worse.
Yeah.
I used to play around with lots of different things when I was younger, going through like a bodybuilding stage. And I have looked my worst taking some things where I should look really good. Do you know what I mean? Big, fat, bloated head and all sorts.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't... You were really good with me, because when I started getting into my fitness and really trying to push myself, you put so much energy into dissuading me against it until you were at a point you're like, okay, if you want to go into this, let's look at it properly.
Yeah. You know? But you know, not just anyone wanting to do a health and fitness journey, like it's so underestimated to like just get your fucking blood panel, get your blood done and just see what is actually going on with your body. People put so much trust in the NHS and doctors, and they're literally pill pushers. So, and it's weird, like when you get your bloods done from the NHS, they only really give you like one or two biomarkers back. So when people are like, oh yeah, I've had my bloods done, they haven't really. They know like one thing about their body. And I always recommend to go on like a website where you can get as many biomarkers checked
as
possible.
I've got one in the house waiting.
Have you?
The big advanced one. I do one about twice a year normally just to
love
check.
That.
But also, right, like male testosterone's dropping drastically.
Do you know what mine was?
Was it really low?
2.9.
Like,
why do you think that is?
I've seen lots of different things to
different
do with,
theories,
but I think it's a mixture of loads of different things together.
It is.
With diet, with lifestyle.
Yeah.
100%. I saw a massive thing about it being about plastics.
Wow.
So the amount of plastics that were taken in.
Yeah, the laws of testosterone,
I think it's just people's lifestyles.
Yeah. I think lifestyle's a big one.
What we're eating.
100%.
Everything. Yeah. And then if you look at the symptoms of low testosterone, like overweight, no energy, depression. So I think testosterone can be great.
Can be life-changing.
Definitely.
Yeah. One interesting angle on this that I heard, I'll probably butcher it, like, but lack of community.
Yeah.
Because if you are hardwired for a sense of belonging, and you don't have community around you, all of a sudden you've got less responsibility. And responsibility and testosterone, it's like the more testosterone is running around in your body, the more responsibility you take on board, because it just brings out this alpha male in you. So it's an interesting angle, but...
That is actually really interesting. But I think regardless of testosterone, community is a massive, massive thing.
Yeah.
Especially these days.
Huge.
I think real life community, like yes, the internet is okay, but like real life connection, because we're so hyper-connected to everyone, but we're actually really disconnected.
Exactly. I agree.
And I catch myself doing it all the time, you know. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. If I've had a long day at work, sometimes I'll get home in the nighttime and I'll sit on my phone. And I'm thinking, like, I've got my beautiful girlfriend sat there who I haven't seen all day. And I'm with a person, but I'm just so far away from them. On my phone, but everyone does it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I think...
It's the norm.
I think that's why, like, exercise is a big part of my life, because I try and be really efficient with all the things I do. Right? Mm. So I'm like, if I can tick 3 or 4 boxes in one, I will do.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, say for instance, going on a run, I won't go by myself. I'll go with people and I'll try and be in nature. Mm-hmm. So like, you're getting the community from your exercise, you're getting your nature.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
That's why gyms, I think, are good if you can.
Yeah.
I think they're brilliant. The community, that's the biggest thing. The people you meet, there's the competitiveness, but there's people to drive you. And also then you have the ability to motivate others as well. Yeah. It's the whole thing. I think it's brilliant. It's the whole environment. Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you as well, because I've been like following a bit of your journey more recently, especially with the carnivore diet and what you've been doing. Is there been any sort of like spiritual element to your journey, or you're just more of a warrior mentality? Because I've seen the ice baths, I've seen the running, I've seen it all, and I've just thought there's got to be more there.
Right, very, very, very spiritual Love element that. To it. And so, I don't know if it's just, if they just happened together, but before I started the carnivore diet, when I was in a place where I was just, as I was talking about, where I was like, is this all it?
Mm.
Just in a bit of a crossroads. I went and done an ayahuasca ceremony.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
In Mallorca.
How did they go down? Are they a bit shouty, screamy ones, or are they different? Mafic or something else?
It can be intense.
It can be. And you know what, right? I've done a lot of psychedelics as well, which, look, and I'll be totally transparent. Like, I'm sober from what I class as hard drugs, but I still will take psychedelics. I think they're, for me personally, they're a really good tool. I do not find them addictive. They've got anti-addiction properties.
That's cool you've got to that point.
Yeah.
I'm fair play.
I came away from this. I went to this ayahuasca ceremony. I'd wanted to do it for a while, and I came away a bit disheartened. I was expecting this big light bulb moment where, like, you know, I changed there and then. And I didn't really get much from that experience. But it seemed to get a lot of it in my life
afterwards.
It sort of dripping in. And whilst I was doing it, I wasn't looking after myself at the time. I was eating a load of shit food. I was depressed. The last night, I can remember getting, it was strange. There were my thoughts, but something else was putting them in there. I wasn't thinking them. I was thinking them, but someone was placing the thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
And it was all just about, you need to start looking after yourself, like properly. So like start taking your health seriously. Like, that was what I got. And then it stopped. And then I couldn't sleep for like 4 or 5 hours. And I just had to sit with my own thoughts, which was quite hard. That was quite an intense experience when I looked at it. So that sort of led, that was quite a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and people don't have to believe us or anything, but this is my experience. I feel like doing this carnivore diet has made me more spiritual. And the reason is my brain's clearer. And it's like, it's connected as to...
Do you know if that's the way we used to eat? I don't know if it was a carnivore diet or...
So,
you seem, but by the way, you seem peaceful. Like, you've like the calm, and like I've seen you all over the years, and you've always had, of how I've seen you, is always with confidence. But this is different, because this is, for me, it's like you're content.
Yeah, I that's how I feel. For a long time in my life, I feel excited about the future.
And I'm
happy with how my life's going. Like, that's the good. And that is a big part of it, I do think. Like, I really do think. I'm excited to see. And I'm not saying I'm going to eat this way for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be dogmatic. If I start to get negative side effects from it, which I personally don't think I will, but if I do, I'll change it. Like, that's, but there's that, not just fucking being sensible.
No, but I like that. You've said that from day one. Yeah. I've seen when people ask you about it, you're like, no, I'm not going to change it. But if suddenly I need to, then I will.
If I start getting ill for whatever reason, and it's because of the food, I personally don't think that will happen.
No, probably not.
I love that you've got that attitude though, because you can't be too stuck in your own beliefs, and you've got to be, able to pivot when you need. So I love that. Love that.
I just think if something's working for you, if something works for you and it's having no negative side effects on your life, like regardless of what anybody else tells you or thinks, because I got a load of people saying, oh, can't believe you're doing that. It's going to ruin your health and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, but they would never have said that to us if I was eating a Snickers bar.
Yeah. Nah.
Do you know what I mean? Suddenly they're really passionate about me, affecting my
so
health.
So weird, isn't it?
By eating grass-fed meat. But if I'd sat and ate a bag of Jelly Babies, there would not have been any word mentioned. Like, but yeah, if it doesn't affect my health, I fucking love feeling the way I feel.
Mm.
Like, I really do. Like, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said, do you think it's how humans were supposed to eat? I've been doing a little bit of research on this as well, because I'm a bit of a nerd. So if I do something, I like to learn about things.
Yeah.
Same as anything, my job, I'm a nerd. I like to learn about new machines and new techniques, fitness. I like to learn stuff, diet. I'm passionate about it because it's, as I say, I haven't been doing it for long, but it's had a massive impact on my life. And I would even say, right, and some people might find this hard to believe, I would even say that from when I got sober from taking ketamine and cocaine and drinking alcohol to life without drugs but still with sugar, so that change compared to the change of life of sugar, I'd say this has been more impactful.
Wow.
Than the stopping the drugs. And that's just my opinion. That's me.
Yeah, but no, that's, I like that.
But that's how I feel, so it doesn't matter what anyone thinks.
But that's why I feel like nutrition is so underestimated, like, as a part of your journey.
Massively.
Huge.
Yeah. It's huge. Such a big thing.
It changes everything. When you start focusing on nutrition, changes everything.
Yeah. Well, to change your life, you've got to change something that you do every day and you eat food every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
I find it. It's opened up a full new what is it? Can of worms.
Yeah. Perspective.
Yeah. Like really, really new perspective. Because, like, say for instance, like last year I'd done an ultra marathon. That was one of my goals, so I'd done that. And you're running more, so you need more fuel. Mm-hmm. I put on 3 kilograms training for an ultra marathon. Now that's not supposed to happen, but I had this mindset that. And yes, if you're running ultra marathons, you need more calories. Yeah. But I would go and do a 4 or 5 hour run and I'd be like, right, okay, I've burnt 7,000 calories a day. So I would stop at every service station on the way home and buy sandwiches, Jelly Babies, to put in, because that's what I told myself you had to do.
Yep.
And I understand sugar can be beneficial for people on these runs, but I justified doing it because I burnt all that calories.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, when I look back at that, I was literally just eating edible drugs off the shelf.
Yeah.
Basically.
But telling myself it was okay because I'd done something.
Mm.
It's like, alcoholic says, I can have a pint because I've been at work all week.
Mm.
Well, not really. No. You know what I mean?
What, like, does this tie into like your worldview on like, all of this as well? So like, I feel like you're very optimized, like as a person, your nutrition, you know, your training. Does this tie into like your worldview on it? Like, what do you actually think about how we're getting shafted by the government and all these different angles in terms of like what you should and shouldn't be eating, all the rules, all the laws? Does it tie into it as well or not?
Yeah. And some people might think that I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, but like, I don't, like, I basically think whatever the government tells you to do, or whatever the health people tell you to
do, the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Yeah.
But the healthcare thing, like, I mean, I just don't go to the doctors anymore. Because, like, I mean, if I needed to, but you can't even get in the fucking doctors in England. So
it's true. Not.
But like, I just don't have any trust in it. Because
understandably,
you know, I could go to the doctors tomorrow and say I'm feeling a bit down, and they would say, do you want some antidepressants?
Yeah, it'd be the first thing.
This is going to cost you money. And the more you realise that the food industry and the medical industry, people have to remember it's just a business.
100%.
Mm. Like pharmaceuticals.
Literally a business.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make money off you. And you don't make a medical, like, a doctor's would be a really, really, it would be a really shitty business model if the doctors actually cured everyone who came in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have no clients left. Mm-hmm. Like, so why would they do it? They'll just want to prescribe you things to sort of mask some of your, is it the symptoms? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The symptom, but not get the root cause.
It's to sustain it. Yeah.
And I think that's.
And half of their solutions cause more problems.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course it does. And we're just getting you addicted to something else.
And I think it's the same with the food. Mm. I listened to a podcast. It was a bloke who was a whistleblower for like a big food company, one of the big processed food companies. And again, he was saying it's a business and they employ scientists to make these foods as addictive as possible.
It's crazy.
So you keep on coming back and eating more. Like, that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Have you seen the stuff that, is it Bobby Kennedy? What he's doing?
Yeah,
he's
really good.
He's incredible,
he's
man.
He's really good.
He's incredible, the stuff. He's going to, like, he's going after these guys.
Yeah, I like it. And hopefully the UK will, well, I don't think we will, but hopefully the UK will follow.
I think it's starting to. There's a lot of noise happening at the moment.
I think people, I hate this phrase, but I think people are waking up slightly.
No, I agree. I know what you mean. Like, it's been banded around that phrase, but I agree.
I think people are starting to realise, like, this isn't... Something's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell, I'll butcher it again, but you get people in the group and we're daft as fuck. But if you take one person out of that group and you allow that person just to think for themselves for long enough, they'll see the truth. And I think that just comes back down to that. Like, people are doing their own research now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are looking into this stuff for themselves and making their own decisions. The trust is
gone. You used to blindly follow. Now people don't. Now people find people that they want to follow. And I think that's why you're seeing so many smear campaigns on all these people. Like that's not a coincidence. Suddenly when someone starts speaking up, suddenly there's always smear campaigns on them, in my opinion anyway.
Oh, definitely. Like, look, and it's always sexual abuse things, isn't it?
Russell Brand.
Yeah, so Russell Brand, the Tate brothers.
Yeah.
So I think it's so clever, but it's so bad because... If someone accuses someone of sexual abuse or any sort of rape charge or anything like that, no matter if they are categorically innocent, and the court says there is no chance that they've done any of that, 100%, that
doesn't matter.
That never goes away.
Never
ever goes away. Exactly. People always will clash them as. That someone will be, I can't believe you listen to them. They're a rapist. It's like,
it's crazy.
But they're not, though. Yeah. Like, look, they're not.
They've dug something up from 10 years ago, probably paid the person to bring it, to resurface it, and then they've completely ruined that person's career and then gone, oh, no, actually, no, they're innocent. But you don't hear about that.
It's like one of the only, like, things, like, so, I know it's a much, by the way, I'm not comparing these things. I know it's a much more petty crime.
Yeah.
If someone got accused of shoplifting and they went to court and the court went, this person is not guilty, they did not shoplift, everyone would be like, oh, it wasn't them.
Yeah.
And they're not a shoplifter.
Yeah.
But with sexual abuse claims, no matter how much they say it's not them, some people will always just say, oh, well, they've done this.
Storytelling fits into people's narratives. Yeah. Kind of it helps people, but it helps. It's just about painting people in a light that. A lot of people want to see these people in a certain way, and these stories allow them to do that. I agree. No, it's I think there's a lot of that going on, but I truly believe that's why I'm enjoying so much what I think a lot of us are doing at the moment. We're just doing our own thing.
Yeah, there's another thought I have to all of that stuff, because there's times when I will get like, actually, I don't anymore. I don't get really into it, but there's times when I've got really into stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, and at the end of the day, it is our life and it does affect our life.
Yeah.
But just don't spend too much of your energy on it, 100%. Because you can't change
it. It's irrelevant in a way.
The only thing you can do is change yourself and look after your life, regardless of what's going on.
That's been a huge learning curve for me over the years. Mm-hmm. Just... detaching from all the bullshit, like detaching from all the bullshit that's fed to you from the news, you know, from other people, and just being at peace with your own perspective. I suppose
pick your battles as well. You know, like so many things now. It's just
you can't get wrapped up in it. Like,
it's just not worth your energy. Like, you know, Keanu Reeves says something brilliant where, you know, he's got to a point in his life that if someone comes up to him You know, and they're shouting in his face. They're saying 1 + 1 = 3. He'll go, yes, it is. Congratulations. You know.
Yeah, that is true. And I'm bad for this because I like debating. I like debates. I like mm-hmm. conversations. I love hearing other people's views on things.
Yeah. Yeah,
if
yeah.
it's different to mine.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
And not because I just want to win. I mean, everyone wants to win the debate, but because I'm interested in why someone would think differently to me.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
interesting. But, like, you've only got a certain amount of time in the day, so you're going to spend an hour or two debating something with someone you're never going to see again. Like, just spend it on doing something which you actually want to do.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
No, I agree with that, mate. We've touched on your sobriety quite a bit, but obviously not specifically spoken about it. Because I know that we were in circles together where there's probably, I'd say 50% have gone off and are doing their own things. Maybe slightly less than 50% are still in those circles. Like I'm so proud of what you've done and like the change I've seen you make. Because I remember we were both, when you were training me, Baby Fitness, we weren't in good places at all. We weren't. And neither of us, I don't know about you, but I wasn't facing it then. I wasn't honest with myself about it. What was that moment when you just were like, I need to, this, because I think you'll probably have the same as me, where what you realized it was a problem is different to the moment you made the change.
Yeah, it was. And it was a long journey, you know, for me, because I think, like, as I say, I've done multiple years of sobriety, but in that time there has been times when I have relapsed and went back to drugs, but I've always came out the other end. But from that first time I got sober, I reckon I was telling myself, tomorrow's a new day, the next day you're not taking drugs. Probably for about 2 years, literally for 2 years before I stopped. So I don't know if there was really like, I can't put my finger on that being like a precise moment, but I must have just been at one point, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And you sort of, I don't know. Some people reach it and some people don't. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And I can't.
Do you advocate for sobriety a lot now? Would you say you push it or?
What do you mean
more,
push it?
Like, do you feel kind of neutral towards it or do you feel like it's just what everyone should do?
Like, I think everyone can do what they want to do. Like, I'm not push anything on anyone. Like, for me, I know being sober is 100% the best thing to do. Like, because as I say, I'm not a moderator. So, like...
I always say I'm not anti-drugs. Drugs are anti-me.
Yeah.
You know?
And through the times when I've tried to take drugs responsibly,
doesn't work.
It always ends up in one place for me, and I just think, what's the point in trying to change that? Like, just do without them. I'm better without them. I don't like them. I never actually really liked alcohol. So if I drank alcohol, I'd take drugs to make us feel different to what the alcohol had made us feel. But do I push it on anyone? Do I push it on people? Like, absolutely not. If someone's got a problem with drugs and alcohol, I had a lad recently who was like a client of mine who reached out to us and was saying, oh, look, I think I've got a cocaine addiction. I'm doing this. I couldn't speak to any of my friends about it because we do it together, but I know you've had your problems in the past. Like, can I talk to you about it? If someone like that, I would 100% say, get sober. Don't try and moderate it because how is moderation working for you?
Yeah.
Like, let's look. Yeah. Like,
what would you say to someone who you know has a problem, everyone else knows I have a problem, but they don't want to admit it to themselves?
You know what? I think...
It's a tricky place.
I truly sometimes think you've just got to let people go on their own paths until they're ready. And because I know this for myself, like from my own experience, where there'd been times in the past where I'd put myself in a horrendous mental state from taking drugs, where my family, my mom, my brothers were saying, Joe, please stop. Like, look what it's doing to you. Like, my friends are ringing us, making sure I'm all right. Like, you need to stop doing this. Like, all the pressure from the outside, you know, we love you loads, please stop, it's ruining your life, it's ruining our life. And
pressure makes it worse sometimes.
And they'd leave and they'd get off the phone and I'd have another line. Like, it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't make a difference. So, so is interjecting in someone's life a good thing to do? I don't have the answer to that. Now, maybe maybe saying something to someone who you'd think is going down a bad path, maybe he's just saying to them, look, mate, is everything all right? Like, do you think you maybe he's doing too many drugs? Just
leading with like a bit of empathy. Yeah.
Let them know you're there. Well, compassion. That's what I would say. Let them know you're there for them, because I'm a big, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, again, just from my experience, you can't, until you're ready, you can't do it for anyone else. No. You've got to do it for yourself. I mean, I did have that final hopeless point. Like, I had a moment where I was like, I can't do this. You know, that was me. It was that final big rock bottom, and that's when I put myself in rehab.
I still think culture doesn't help. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a weird argument because I look at Newcastle, it's Nightlife City, Geordie's.
It's love everywhere, though, mate.
Love a good time. But,
bro, I moved myself to the Cotswolds, and I still found two dealers in a Cotswold village. Right? Yeah. Like, if you're that's what I mean.
When I zoom out, I'm like,
yeah,
it probably is a problem everywhere.
Yeah.
But then, don't really know what the solution is to that kind of problem. I think it's bigger than...
I don't know what the solution is. I really don't.
I think it'll always be a potential battle because as human beings, we have addictive natures.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, but...
Well, they've found like fossils, haven't they? I'm pretty sure they found fossils of cavemen with drugs in that purse that they found.
Yeah.
Now, I think the problem is again, I think this is with drugs, alcohol and food. Like, we would have always seeked out things that are going to potentially, I don't know, make us feel better or give us more energy. I think we would have always seeked them out. Like, when you were a caveman, if you came across an apple tree, you're going to eat as many of them as you can, but it's going to help you catch your next prey better. So you're going to gorge on them and your body would have made you eat as much as you can until you physically can't eat anymore.
Mm.
But there's a chance you weren't going to see that again for 6 months. It's the same with, I don't know, like.
So basically, at some point in our history, it might have worked for us, but now it just works against us potentially.
And everything is so easily accessible, which I think makes it a lot harder.
I agree. I think you have to, that's one of the things I've said a lot is in my recovery, I embrace and I enjoy the suffering. Like, the suffering in different ways, whether it's pushing my body, whether it's, you know, the nutrition side. But I've changed it. The suffering I used to endure, I didn't enjoy at all. Whereas this is different. It's like, I can't really explain it. Because I get a dopamine every time during a training session, I'll get a dopamine hit. And it's similar to my early days in active addiction. But it's good.
That's a huge one, dopamine.
I think when you realize, I realize that anything that's worth doing, which is good and beneficial for your life, anything at all, there's got to be something hard before it.
Yeah.
Like you don't get, if you get a good feeling, a good sensation or something good without there being nothing hard beforehand, it's probably going to make you feel really bad afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like delayed gratification, isn't it? Drugs, foods, alcohol, addictions are normally the things which are very easy to do.
Yep.
And the bad addictions, things that are very easy to do, make you feel good quickly, but short-lived, then you get the shit bit afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas all the things that are actually worth doing, you've got to
enjoy
shit first to get the good bit after. Like, I love going in the cold water. I love going in ice baths.
You do it all the time, every day?
Not every day, but multiple times a week.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, I class it as free drugs because when you get out of that water, you have a drug-like high.
They say it's more than coke, don't they?
Yeah. You've got to do the come down first.
Yeah,
it's flipped.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different to cocaine. Like, you've got to go through the horrible bit first that no one wants to do, but then you get the good bit after. So that
sounds all right.
And I think that's the same with most. Like, same with exercise. You've got to do the hard, gruesome bit first, you feel good after.
Mm.
Same with work. If you want to have a successful business or you want to be good at a craft or at anything in life, you've got to put in hard work, which probably you don't want to do first.
Yeah.
But then you get the good bit after.
I think on that then, what are your plans? Because you're doing a lot of cool stuff at the moment. So what are you looking to achieve in 2025?
This year, right. So this year I've decided to really focus on my career and my title.
Mm-hmm.
So I have always focused on it. Like mm-hmm. it's always been a big focus of mine, but there's been times when I've sort of split my time between tattooing and fitness stuff, mm-hmm. like, as I say, training for ultramarathons, yep. things like that, which I love and I think are great for you.
Yeah.
But my goal this year is to focus on my career. You only have infinite time, mm-hmm. and I don't believe you can be good at everything at once. That just doesn't make sense. So my goal is to progress my tattooing, mm-hmm. And just get better at that. And that means that I'm still doing the other things I love doing on the side, but to complement it. So I'm not training. Yeah. So I'm not going on 4 or 5 hour runs at the moment.
Yep.
I love doing them, but I'm not doing that. I'll go mm-hmm. on a 1 or 2 hour one.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because everything you do, like the time has got mm-hmm. to come from somewhere, your energy's got to come from somewhere. Yep. And I'm choosing to spend my energy that I have on my tattooing.
Yeah.
So, the fitness stuff is just I'm using my fitness and my training as one for my head,
yep.
but two, to complement my work, not take away from it.
I like that.
Because there's been times mm-hmm. when it has took away from
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, mm-hmm. like, because I've learned a lot from doing like hard physical things, mm-hmm. which I'm now taking to the tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so.
Sweet. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm excited because I think you're doing amazing stuff at the moment. And I think, I know that you've got a lot of supporters, a lot of people that are interested in what you're doing. What would you say to them? What would you say to someone who looks at your stuff, sees the changes that you've made? What would your advice be? Because I guarantee there's people listening that are in points.
Changes, are you talking about my diet or my training or being sober or all of it?
Well, you pick.
Let's think.
Self-development, I suppose.
Self-development.
Yeah.
I think it's a hard one, isn't it? Because I don't really want to tell people what to do.
You just say what's working
for me personally, the diet thing's been the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know a lot of people have give a shit for it because yeah. they think it's like a fad and stuff. But I mean, it's the longest I've ever stuck to any sort of way of eating for.
Mm.
I mean, when was the last time someone didn't have a cheat day for like 90 days.
Yeah.
Mate, that's impressive.
Not many people have.
No, that's seriously.
People say that's not it's not sustainable. Well, this has been the most sustainable for me. I've never done
mm-hmm.
nearly 90 days without a cheat meal. So that shows to me that is sustainable. I think anything, diet, training, it's just
start with the fundamentals.
Yes, start with the fundamentals.
Mm. Like, and have non-negotiables? Is that something?
Non-negotiables. So like say, for instance, for me, I just said, right, just do it for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just 30 days.
Yeah.
If after 30 days you don't want to do it anymore, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But do something and stick to it.
Yeah.
Mm. Because if you're going backwards discipline? And forwards, which I did for mm-hmm. years, like mm-hmm. same with training, like you're training, just be consistent with something
yep.
for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then assess the situation from there. But don't do something for a week and then do the other thing and then go back mm-hmm. and be like, I've done it for a week, but it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, imagine if someone went to the gym for a week and I just felt really shit. Yeah.
And you're gonna.
So it didn't work.
Yeah.
No, it didn't work because you didn't do it for long enough.
Exactly.
Like, one thing that's always stuck with me is 30 days for a routine, 60 days for a habit, 90 days for a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm. That's always stuck with me. Like throughout my whole journey, like it sounds quite similar to what you're saying.
I agree. Right?
I think there's again, everyone doesn't have to do what I'm doing, but I think if someone is struggling with their mental health, which a lot of people are these days, like really struggling with it, and it's apparent that people are. Like, look at the suicide rates in men.
Yeah,
like,
it's through the roof.
Like
that's why we do what we do. Really,
yeah. Exactly. Like, but people don't want to
open up.
People open up, talk, but also people don't want to look at what they're putting in their body.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is strange. Like, and you, and your food, like, think, I mean, I don't agree with drugs either, but like, think if you take drugs every day, it's this much, maybe. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a high user.
Yeah.
But the food you put in your body, there's, there's this much. It's so important.
And the chemicals in it are more.
That's a big point.
It's important. Yeah. And I think, you know, do your own research and make your own decisions. Because there'll be someone out there who says a vegan diet's the best thing to do, and they will have read research on that, and that tells them the best thing, and that's great. But I think if you can just make a conscious effort to improve your health, it and normally do what works ends up for getting you. Better. Mm. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I love
whatever
that.
Whatever it is.
I love that. Man, it's been a pleasure.
It's been fun. Thank you, lads. It's great what you're doing.
Cheers, bro. I've got sweaty hands. Good lad.
Appreciate
that was wicked. That was over and out. Episode 15. Cheers, Daps. It's quietest I've heard you.